welcome back. Sure, this is Eli Nyman. We are learning Leila Nishmas, Chaim Baruch Ben Zavol, Perelbas Pinchas, Mir Melita Basarum, Perelbas Moshe Yecheskel, Mir Neshama Hemen Aliyah. We are learning Refuah Shleima for all those who are Menachem Ben Shlomo Ben Chaya Rachel, among other sick people. May our Shir be Yizchus for Eretz Yisrael and for Klal Yisrael. What I decided to do tonight is to backtrack a little bit to Parsha Shmos, even though we're in Parsha Se'era, but there's a theme that Parsha Se'era, not only the particular Makos, which is Moshe and Jewish people, and Moshe freeing the Jewish people with the Makos, but a particular part that actually I want to zero in on. And that is actually with Moshe and the Mitzri. Some may recall from last week's parasha. So Moshe finds a Mitzri, and the Pesukim say he looked both ways, and he hit the Mitzri to save the Jew. And then he saw two Jews fighting, and he said, hey, please stop fighting. Why are you hitting your fellow Jew? And they said to it, Misam Khalish Sarva, show fate. Who made you a man? Haragania to Omer, you're gonna kill us, Kasharakta as a Mitzri, like you killed the Egyptian, Vayira Moshe Yamar, Akeno Dadar. And Moshe was afraid, he said, oh my goodness, the matter is known. So there was actually two incidents. And in the first incident, he hit the Mitzri and he buried the Mitzri in the sand against the Jew and Ivri, and it was a Jew. And in the second part, he saw two Jews fighting, which I think some shatim say, Rashi says Dasin Aviram, and one of them say to him, "Are you gonna how again? Tell me, are you gonna kill us just like you killed the last one?" Rashi says, "Mikan anu lamein zimishara oko b'feim afarish." From here, we learn they killed him with the shei afarish. We're not gonna get into too much detail, but the shei afarish, something we're gonna focus on in the next few minutes. That is Hashem's holy name, which in the vernacular, in present day, today, we call it practical Kabbalah, things where you can do various things. I want to caution people, this is not something to be engaging and entertaining, but I have a book in front of me, Faith and Folly. It was translated to English. It was intended, some Kabbalistic sefer or not, this particular Kabbalistic sefer written by Rav Yaakov Hillel is in fact intended for the masses, as he's warning people against not to engage in practical Kabbalah. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what is this practical Kabbalah. My rabbi actually gave a shir on it a couple years ago, I think it was 2 years ago on Shavuos, and this particular text is certainly fit for the masses. There are svarim, which I won't mention, that are not for the masses. They are only for select few, not me, but a very few people. Rabbi Yaakov Hillel is a big Kabbalah Kabbalah himself, and he knows how to filter, and he knows what's appropriate for the masses, and he's going to describe a little bit about the Shem Farish, and some of the things that he's going to describe, I actually have a kasha on Rashi, and maybe we're going to try to sell the kasha. The divine names, safeguarding and honoring the names. At first, the 12-letter name was taught to everyone. When many began to use it, they taught it only to the most modest of the priests, the Kohanim. Said Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav, the 42-letter name is taught only to a modest, humble person at midlife who does not become angry or drunk and does not insist on its full rights. Whoever knows it and is careful to guard it in purity is beloved in heaven on earth, is held in awe, and inherits the world and the world to come. It's actually Gemara in Kedusha. The divine names are God's tools, so to speak, this is Rabbi Yaakov Hillel writing. Through knowledge of the Kabbalistic secrets they contain, one may attain power over creation and perform miracles. The names were revealed by God to Moshe, transmitted to the other prophets, and handed down to the Tanaim and Amoraim. After working hard to refine their character so that they would achieve high levels of saintliness, the prophets and sages were able to fathom the spirituality clothed in the letters of each name. They were then able to use their souls as a spiritual ladder for transcending the higher worlds. A ladder was set on the earth, and its top reached heavenward. It's a pasuk. And they knew how to make use of the names to change and control the forces of nature and to perform miracles. But the prophets and sages did not use the names to perform miracles. They studied the names in order to realize the might and power of Hashem. Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva use the names to expand and improve their understanding and memory and to attain divine inspiration. Of them, the scripture says, "It is written for me, and I will rescue him. I will elevate him because he knows my name. He will call me, and I will answer him." It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Note that it says he knows my name, not he uses it. Ridvaz, Magen David. It is clear from the scriptures that the prophets did not use the names for their personal benefit, not even to save their lives. Eliyahu was lost in the desert for 40 days, and Yirmiyahu was cast into a pit. Neither invoked the names to save themselves. Yavetz in his commentary on Eruvin. When Yishayahu pronounced one of the names for his own benefit, he fell into the hands of his enemies and was slain, as the Gemara teaches. Manasseh, king of Judah, said to the prophet Yishayahu, "Your words contradict those of Moshe. I therefore sentence you to death." Yishayahu said to himself, "If I speak in my own defense, Manasseh will not accept my refutation of his charges. He will execute me, and heaven will judge him for murder. If I do not speak in my own defense, he will execute me, but heaven will judge him for an error in judgment." Thereupon, Yishayahu pronounced an ineffable name, the Shem of Farish, and is miraculously absorbed into a tree. Manasseh had the tree felled. Manasseh cut down the tree. When the axe hacked at the place of the mouth, Yishayahu died because he had once called Israel a people of unclean lips. So he actually, I don't recall to you exactly where it is, but at one point he says, well, Yishayahu made a mistake. Can you imagine? Kavachomer, all the others. Now, Yishayahu was a great tzaddik, huge tzaddik. The Gemara in Yavamos that's quoted here says that because one time he made a mistake, he wasn't allowed to say the Shem Mefarish. Conditions for using the names. Said Rabbi Shmuel, "I heard a pleasant voice saying, whoever knows my name and does not use them will be rewarded beyond measure, will inherit the Garden of Eden, and will sit before me as a disciple. But if someone uses them, I will switch his reward to punishment and hand him over to a cruel angel." There are very limited circumstances in which it is permissible to use the divine names. So let's keep in mind the backdrop that Moshe used the divine names to smite the Mitzri against the Ivri, and I think he almost used it again against Dothan Aviram. The names may be used only to avert danger to the Jewish people or to sanctify the name. That is, make God's greatness known in the world. Before using the names, the user must rid himself of the impurity that comes from contact with the dead. This can be achieved only through the ashes of the Parah Aduma. Even after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Tarfon purified the unclean with ashes of the Paraduma. The ashes have since been lost. The user must be fasting, must be in a state of sanctity and purity, and must be in a secluded place where his thoughts will not be disturbed. He should be alone, or better yet, with a study partner who will keep him from stumbling. So, I have a little bit of a kasha. If Rabbi Yaakov Hillel says, and he's calling a safer, that you could only use it to avert danger or sanctify the name, how is Moshe allowed to use it? It would appear to me that perhaps there was a particular Chil Hashem of the Mitzri hitting the Jew. That is, there was a certain appearance, Chas V'Shalom, maybe, that there was an appearance that Hashem does not run the world. When Moshe stepped in and used the Shem Mefarish, he's trying to tell the Mitzri, Hashem runs the world. Just because right now the Jews are in Gullus, that is, Gullus Mitzrayim, one day the Jews will likely be free. Another answer that I have is the Jewish people. So one of the things, if you look, Vayifen Kovachol, he looked here and there, and Rashi comments, he wanted to see what was going to come from him, Vayaki Enish, and he saw that there was nobody. Perhaps this Ivri, whoever it was, Moshe was able to know that the entire Jewish people would depend upon him one day. I don't know who this Ivri is, but it would appear that Moshe may have had a calculation that, you know what, the Jewish people might need this particular person. Whether or not it came true later, I don't know, but that could have been Moshe's calculation, because one of the qualifications for using the Shem Mefarish is to avert danger to the Jewish people. So maybe that's what it was. Rabbi Yaakov Hillel writes as well that you have to be fasting and a state of sanctity and purity. It must be in a secluded place where its thoughts will not be disturbed. That fits in perfectly with what the Pesukim say. What does the Pesuk say? Vayomar, achei no da'a divar. Surely the thing is known. So some Mefarshim learn I think Rashi and some others. Parsha Pshad is, oh my gosh, now I'm in trouble because the people now know this. But it's possible that for this particular understanding, Moshe was saying, I may have made a mistake. In the end, he did not, but it's possible that because Rav Yaakov Hillel writes that you must be in a secluded place, perhaps Moshe was saying, I thought I was secluded and was not. He was actually learning this Rav Yaakov Hillel anachronistically. That is, that this particular teaching is based on what Moshe did. One day, while Rav Nechunya ben Akana was meditating with Kavano, his soul ascended but did not return. Only when the other sages touched his hand with the edge of a garment of questionable purity did his soul return. The only person who may rightfully use the holy name is he of whom it is written, he who is appointed over death loves you. That is, he must be so sinless that all accusers, including the angel of death, become his friend. He actually goes on to continue to speak about how terrible it is for somebody who is not worthy to be able to use this shame of farish. Big avera, and it's punished both in this world and the next. I think the lesson is that Hashem's name is very holy, and there's a time and a place to use it. My Rav was saying, giving a shir a couple of years ago, it's a time and a place to use the particular shame of farish. It appears to me, based on what we read from Yaakov Hillel, it can't be something selfish in nature. We read that it has to be to save the Jewish people or to sanctify Hashem's name. It has to be something that it's not going to be for me, 100% selfless. 100% it is not for me, it is going to be for God. When a person could come to that level of being 100% selfless, then that person could use the shame of farish. It would appear to me that even for those that are not mikubalin, it's okay, we could daven, we could learn, we could do chesed, we could do staka. And Yaakov Hillel explains in the Sefer that one could achieve very, very high madrigos like that. You don't have to, he explains that some people think you have to be mikubal to be a high level. It's not true. You don't have to be mikubal. There are many, he says, or, you know, humongous talmid chachamim, big dollars, whatever it is, and they achieve very high spiritual levels. And I think the takeaway lesson is to constantly be doing things with Shem Shemayim. That's what essentially Moshe did. He used the divine name. It wasn't for his selfish purposes, because he was going to lose from it. It could only be bad for him because they saw and there was trouble and whatever. He did it for 100% lishma, whatever it might be. And later on as well, when he uses the staff contained Hashem's holy name. So may we always try to have a selfless attitude in our Avodas Hashem. This is Eli Nyman. Wishing everybody bracha, tzlacha, and learning. Live Torah, love Torah, learn Torah. Have a wonderful night. Thank you much. Bye-bye.